O Lord Jesus Christ, who at thy first coming didst send thy messengers, the prophets, to preach repentance and prepare the way of our salvation, grant that we also may prepare and make ready your way for the second coming. In Christ's name, amen. Last Sunday, in our teen confirmation class, I brought in an Arizona Republic newspaper. I like to do this every year when we get to the section about the law, and I like to bring it in and as an object lesson, thinking about what would the newspaper sound like if we actually followed all the law. How good would the news be in the newspaper if we actually followed God's law? And I also like to see if teenagers still know what a newspaper is. I'm waiting for the day when they don't know what it is. But I was very surprised this last week when Micah Thurman, one of our confirmants, teenager, he picked it up and was actually reading it. And unfortunately, it was not helpful to my object lesson because everything he read something about Russia and the Ukraine at conflict and potential war. He read something about 100,000 deaths or new cases of COVID. And everything he read was one bad news article after the other. And he just kept reading and reading. And part of me just wanted to go over there and take it away from him and say, stop reading that newspaper. Because I don't want to hide the news from them that there is all this bad news. But boy, in the youth group, my goal, my hope always is that it be a good place for them to come, where they a sanctuary from all the bad things happening in the world, where they can learn more about loving God and loving their neighbor. But this is part of what it means to live in a broken and fallen world. Bad news is part of living in a terrifying and fallen world full of terrified and fallen people. And even we as Christians, who are good news people, gospel people, who have this great hope, even we get scared and frightened because of the fallen nature, the fearful things in this world. And I wonder if we who have this great hope and this great joy, if we can still get so easily frightened, then what must it be like for those who are far from God, who do not have the hope that we have? Living in this world, what kind of constant fear and terror must our neighbors who don't know Christ feel? Zephaniah, in the passage today, and all the prophets tell us how we can be less fearful as we live in this fallen world. The solution to our terrifying, evil, unhelpful fear of all the fears that are in this world is a good fear. It's the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 9:10. Zephaniah opens up this short work, these short little three chapters, not with these joyful, rejoicing words that we heard read just a moment ago, but with some pretty terrifying, frightening language. This is the word of the Lord, and he says, this is God speaking through Zephaniah, I will utterly sweep away everything from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. I will sweep away man and beast. I will sweep away the birds of heaven and the fish of the sea and the rubble with the wicked. I will cut off mankind from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. The opposite of creation. This is Zephaniah prophesying to the Judeans, the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom had already been exiled, and Zephaniah was warning that the same was going to happen to the southern kingdom of Judah. Because of their incredible, incredible sins, things as terrible as sacrificing their children to false gods, great evils and great injustices, God is described over and over again in the Old Testament as a God who is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. But this injustice, this evil, kept going on and on and on. God sent his prophet Zephaniah not to scare and terrify the people ultimately, but so that they would repent. In Zephaniah 3:7, this is what the Lord says. I said, surely you will fear me. You will accept correction. Then your dwelling place would not be cut off, according to all that I have appointed against you. But all the more you are eager to make your deeds corrupt. The Lord desires repentance. Zephaniah and the prophets preach this. As followers of Jesus, we do fear the Lord. We awe and fear and revere the Lord, the only one who is worthy of good and true fear. We do accept correction. And because we believe that the Lord, through his redemptive work of Jesus, heals us, forgives us, clears away our greatest enemies, sin and death, he's in our midst by his Holy Spirit, because of all these things, and because he even, as Zephaniah says, rejoices over us. He sings over us, the way Zephaniah puts it. Because of this, we rejoice in the midst of all the fears of this fallen world. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, O Zion. Let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. So we rejoice as Christians, as those who are adopted children of God. We rejoice in this knowledge that we have a God who rejoices and sings over us. And of course, that's what we should do all the time. There should be nothing that scares us in this fallen and frightening world. But unfortunately, we are very quick to forget and very quick to fall back into our fears of everything except our good fear of the Lord. We doubt that in Jesus, he has really taken away our judgment. We doubt that he has truly cleared away our greatest enemies, sin and death. We doubt that he's really in our midst by his Holy Spirit, who truly dwells in us. Like the Judeans that Zephaniah prophesied to, we also at times say in our hearts, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do ill. But the fact that even we who have been redeemed, us good news people, we can still be so quickly frightened by all this bad news, by all the scary things in this world, it simply points us back to our need of our Lord, who is never afraid and who continues faithfully rejoicing over us. Zephaniah prophesied, fear not. Fear not, O Zion, let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst. A little after him, the prophet Zechariah filled out that prophecy. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Matthew tells us the account of Jesus riding into Jerusalem on the donkey, fulfilling these prophecies. The Lord your God, the King of Israel, is in your midst. Jesus knew what this trip to Jerusalem was going to bring, what being in the midst of his people would bring to him. Only a little while after riding in on that donkey and hearing the rejoicing shouts of Hosanna, Hosanna, after that would come the fearful, hateful shouts of crucify him, crucify him. Jesus went to Jerusalem anyway. He was not afraid. He stood silently and fearlessly before Pilate, who warned him, do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you? Zephaniah 3:17, he will be quiet over you in his love. Isaiah 53:7, like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. The king of Israel didn't fear even the death of the cross because of his love for the Father and his love for us. His love is perfect. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. The Lord your God is in your midst. On Friday night of this week, you probably heard about these huge storms and tornadoes that went through several states, about 200 miles long. It actually went right through my hometown and county. Thankfully, none of my family or friends that I know of were hurt or had their homes destroyed. But I've seen the pictures of the devastation, and it's completely shocking to see these places that I know personally. Yet I know and trust in Jesus, who rode through a storm on a sea, and his disciples were terrified. And what was Jesus doing? Taking a nap. And disciples, frustrated, said, "What are you doing? Get up. Wake up. We're going to die." And Jesus just asked them, "Why are you afraid? Oh, you of little faith." And he told the winds to stop, the sea to stop, and they obeyed. And the disciples said, "Who is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one, a perfect faith, who can't be frightened by any storm, the one who has defeated even sin and death, the one who will raise his adopted children up on the last day, when we shall never be afraid again. Because we believe that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is, our joy will be made complete. This is why, even in a world still so wounded by the effects of sin, we rejoice with our faithful Lord, who rejoices and sings over us.